From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. Each message is devoted to an entire book and will provide you with a summary of the purpose, the doctrines, and the applications of the book to the Christian life. With this program, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of an overview of the Epistle to the Romans, a book that deals with the heart of the gospel as no other epistle does. The Apostle Paul deals with two great themes in Romans, justification by faith in Christ and sanctification, which is the result of justification. Paul emphasizes that God does not minimize man's sin, but that by his death on the cross, Christ satisfied the righteous penalty of God's law for all who believe in him. This doctrine of justification by faith alone excludes all human works, depending solely on what someone else has done for the salvation of one's soul. In the act of justification, the transformed sinner is united to Christ in an indissoluble union. This is what produces sanctification, or holiness of life. Finally, we'll see that a life of service to Christ is the outworking of holiness. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will conclude this look at the book of Romans under the theme, God's Way of Salvation. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is called One King, One Lord. The text is Zechariah chapter 14, verse 9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. Blessed prospect! This is no dream of an enthusiast, but the declaration of the infallible word. Jehovah shall be known among all people, and his gracious sway shall be acknowledged by every tribe of man. Today it is far from being so. Where do any bow before the great king? How much there is of rebellion! What lords many and gods many there are on this earth! Even among professed Christians, what diversities of ideas there are about him and his gospel! One day there shall be one King, one Jehovah, and one name for the living God. O Lord, hasten it. We daily cry, Thy kingdom come. We will not discuss the question as to when this shall be, lest we lose the comfort of the certainty that it shall be. So surely as the Holy Ghost spake by his prophets, so surely shall the whole earth be filled with the glory of the Lord. Jesus did not die in vain. The Spirit of God worketh not in vain. The Father's eternal purposes shall not be frustrated. Here, where Satan triumphed, Jesus shall be crowned, and the Lord God Omnipotent shall reign. Let us go our way to our daily work and warfare, made strong in faith.
Oh, creatures of our God and King, be
We often see the word revival on a church marquee, and yet what really constitutes revival? Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the western coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. At that time, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. And yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying out for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak makes available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to Christ during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation by God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling. Or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of the revival on the Isle of Lewis. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
Justification proves our union with Christ. Our union with Christ produces holiness of life. What do we say to this argument? Well, now, if you say you're saved without works, your works don't matter, therefore. How you live doesn't matter. If you say that God justifies, as Paul says, this is a very bold statement in chapter 4, God justifies the ungodly. The ungodly he justifies. How then can you get away from the conclusion that we can live whatever way we like? Well, chapter 6 and 7 give you the answer. Justification and union with Christ, our security in Christ, these are not an excuse to sin. Why? Because we are in Christ. When he died to sin on the cross, we died. That's what God says. You're in him. Legally, you're in him. When he rose, we rose. This is what makes it impossible for a Christian to use his position in Christ as an excuse to sin. We are legally one with Christ. We're not under the law, which would condemn us. Romans 6:14, we're under grace. But under grace, Romans 7:22, we delight in the law of God in the inward man. You see, the logic of a Christian is, I am in Christ. I died to sin. How can I live in sin? I am in Christ. I rose in newness of life. How can I live in the old life? That's the logic of a Christian. And then, as Paul goes on to show, that legal union with Christ is the basis of the indwelling of the Spirit of God within us. So that that great objective work of the Savior, that work that is outside of us on our behalf, leads to a work within us. Christ purchased for his people the activity of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, don't forget what this book tells us, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Any man who says he's justified to live whatever way he likes, and he likes to live in sin, has not the Spirit of Christ. And Paul says, the man's a fool and a liar and a deceiver. He is not justified, because a justified man on the ground of what Christ has done for him has procured for him the internal work of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is just that. He is the Spirit of holiness. So our union with Christ leads us to holiness. And finally, holiness of life fits us for service. Chapter 6, verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. The word instruments is a military term. It means weapons. And what he's saying is, this is holiness, practical holiness. You do not yield your members as weapons to be used against the work of God, or against the glory of God, or against the law of God. You yield yourself that every particle of your being will be a weapon in the hand of God. And you'll live in holiness. How does this work out? Chapters 12 to 16. It works out in a life of service. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, we are not under law. We are therefore not slaves to sin. We do not serve sin. We are under grace. We are slaves of righteousness. We are slaves. Let's get that. Anybody who boasts that he's a free man, in the ultimate sense, is a fool. The only free man is Christ's slave. You're either the devil's slave and sin's slave, or you're Christ's slave. Christians are not under the law, slaves to sin, to live under sin. They are under grace. They are slaves of righteousness. And therefore, we do serve Christ in the freedom of his holiness. I've quoted Romans 12, 1-3. It's interesting that immediately after that text, you have a section that describes Christians as the body of Christ. In other words, we are to function in union with him and with each other as members of his body. When you are in Christ, it leads to holiness of life. And holiness of life is life in union with Christ and in union with the people of Christ. I haven't time to deal with Romans 14, but it shows you how this works out in the church. That instead of fighting and sectionalizing ourselves in the church, instead of making big issues out of things that the Bible does not make big issues out of, instead of dividing the body of Christ over personal prejudice, racial prejudice, cultural prejudice, or some other of the baggage that we bring with us into the church, instead of that, how we are in the union and the unity of the body in Christ, how we are to serve each other as we serve the Lord. All our service is to be a reflection of our justification and our union with Christ. Let me sum it up again. The central message of the gospel, way of salvation, is justification freely by God's grace received through faith. Justification establishes our union with Christ. Our union with Christ leads us into holiness, and holiness fits us for service. This is how the book of Romans sets forth the way of salvation. It's both an exposition and an exhortation. It shows us how to be free from the guilt of sin. It shows us the way of freedom from the power of sin. It gives us the proper motivation to serve Christ with fervor. That's something that the church needs to regain today. There are more preachers haranguing their congregations, as they say, cleaning their congregations, ripping them up and down and cursing them and condemning them and cajoling them and guilting them in order to get them to do something. And it is a failure. We need to regain the motivation to serve Christ with fervor. How do we get it? By understanding this gospel. Because this fixes our purpose on the glory of the one who gave us such a salvation. Can I close by saying this? I'm going to read to you the closing words of Romans. Every other purpose in life is unworthy of a man or a woman who has known the grace of a free justification in Christ. The only purpose that is not too mean for a believer is to live for the glory of him who gave his Son for us. This is how Romans ends. Romans 16, 24. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for obedience to faith, to God only wise be glory through Christ Jesus forever. Amen. That's the purpose of our preaching. To sink the pride of man in the dust and exalt the glory of God and His grace to the heavens. That is the purpose of our salvation. You are saved for the glory of God. That's the purpose of our lives. Let me repeat it, therefore. Any other purpose is too mean for those who have received a free justification. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. O God, our Father, bless thy word to every heart. We do thank thee for this wonderful salvation which thou hast given to us. What a glorious thing it is that God should ever have thought upon us. O Lord, our Lord, we pray today that thou wilt indeed apply this gospel, reveal it with saving power to any in this meeting without Christ. And, O God, reveal it afresh with power and glory to all of us who are saved. Indeed, Lord, use the gospel to give us back our first love and the fervor of service that we may truly live to the glory of the only wise God, our Savior. Part us now with thy blessing. Be our abiding portion, both this day and until our Lord Jesus either calls us home or comes again in all his glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.